After an unexpected hiatus, we return to Chronicle Podcast. This is the penultimate episode of this season, which is, of course, season number 4, and a very special one in that this particular episode links into a running series currently on our main feed on the podcast Under the Stairs. We're looking at the movies of José Larraz, the Spanish-born director who had a chance to practice many different genres of cinema, but found moderate success in the horror genre. He is widely regarded as being ahead of his time, underappreciated, but a guy that consistently changed his tactics, his approach, and most importantly, never forgot that his movies were predicated on the body count. So we will be swinging in a review on this episode of a little movie called Edge of the Axe. You're listening to Chronicle Podcast, an almanac of old world horrors.
Ignition, T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, liftoff.
It's always been a quiet little town.
A series of brutal murders have been committed in the area by what appears to be a madman.
I tell you, this place stinks of death.
A neighbor found her body a couple of hours ago.
My God.
Rita Miller was hacked to death. With a sharp, wide-bladed instrument.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Charlie, is that you?
I want him captured.
And it feels so good to be back. Welcome to Chronicle Podcast. This is a European horror exclusive podcast, the almanac of old world horrors, if you will. This is season 4, episode number 11, the penultimate episode of season 4. Now, season 4's original plan was to bring in guests, and we would just let a kind of almost free for all on any movies that fell within European horror cinema as a topic point to just chat on. And it was fun, but then looping back round to previous guests and trying to get other people involved became a bit of a chore, hence why it's taken about 6 months to return with these last two episodes. It's not because people didn't want to come on, but scheduling just found difficulties almost across the board. I am, however, continuing the trend. I do enjoy having guest hosts on, and we will be continuing in season 5 with guest hosts joining me, probably for shorter run seasons, which I think makes sense. It's easier to organise on my part, but also I want to bring it back to old school Chronicle, where we pick a specific theme through European horror cinema, whether that is giallos or vampire movies or whatever it might be, and get our guest hosts on to join for those in smaller run series. So guests definitely back for season 5. These last two episodes I'm just going to do myself, just to conclude this season and put a bow on it. Now, we have been on podcast Under the Stairs, the sister feed to this particular feed that we're on just now, been running a look at the Blood Hunger box set by Arrow Video, and it's the films of José Larraz, a guy who has a plethora of really interesting work both within and outside of the genre. And the movies we've been covering over there within that box set are Whirlpool, a kind of almost psychosexual horror thriller, Vampires, which is, as you imagine it is, a kind of Euro horror erotic vampire movie, and The Coming of Sin, which is definitely leaning more into the erotic side of things. And he, well, as that is, managed to kind of keep himself kind of busy for the most part. But weirdly, he, towards the end of the 80s and into the 90s, kind of found a rebirth, but there's a resurgence in his movies, also once again under different names, but he started doing slasher movies, which is kind of awesome, because I love slasher movies. I love Spanish production slasher movies, but he was doing them right towards the end of the 80s when, to be honest, slashers was on the way out. And he still had a kind of run of them there, which is a ton of fun. He took a run at Rest in Pieces, which came out in 87. 88, he did Edge of the Axe, which we are going to be discussing on this episode, and concluded in 90 with the movie Deadly Manor. Now, Arrow's been putting out quite a lot of these titles thus far, and as a result, Edge of the Axe has been sitting on the shelf for a little while in the shrink wrap, and I thought, you know what, let's do it. Let's bring it to Chronicle. Let's sit down. Let's talk about some later day Loraz, and see where it takes us. I knew of Edge of the Axe purely because of, one, the cover. The cover is quite memorable. It's the kind of white, almost death mask look of the killer, which I'd seen on posters and various places before. And then ultimately, on top of that as well, I've seen some of the deaths from this movie in montages, specifically the opening death in the car wash is something I'd seen before on, you know, like kind of montage of deaths in horror cinema. So it was one, once again, I was kind of marginally familiar with, but it was a first time watch. So coming off the back of some of his 70s work, I was curious to see if time had been kind. We're jumping on almost a full decade from what will be the final movie in that Arrow box set, The Coming of Sin. And, you know, this is him taking another stab, there's no better way to do it without sounding completely punny. But I had seen Deadly Manor. I watched Deadly Manor last year for the first time when I received the Arrow one. I think I got that in the sale. So I want to jump back, check out Edge of the Axe. And to be honest, there's actually quite a lot to like here. Notwithstanding the terrible acting, which it is riddled with, as slashers go, this isn't nearly as campy as the American or even the Italian slasher movies of this time period. And I really enjoyed the high body count and viciousness of it. As you can imagine, the killer is killing people with an axe, because that's the, well, it's in the title, isn't it? But specifically, I think it kind of leans into the fact that it understands its audience is primarily looking for, you know, lots of death. Now, what I find kind of humorous about this and doing the research is actually Loraz considers this his worst movie, which is weird, because I kind of had a ball with this. Once again, not from the acting, and I'm going to swing back to that as one of the bad points, but also one of the kind of highlights here. But I found myself kind of... It's a box-ticking exercise. It's small town, it's terrible police. The police are absolutely awful in this movie, and there is a killer kind of running around doing what the killer does, which is just hunting people down, well, mostly women, with an axe and chopping them up quite viciously, actually, for the time. You could hear the censors having a field day in the UK. I believe, according to IMDb, it was cut by about 26 seconds to tone down some of the axe murders in this movie. But, you know, it has quite a high body count. And once you get into the kind of swing of how the movie's running and get an idea of where it's going, and to be honest, let's call it what it is, who the killer is, it really kind of just continues to push the death right the way through this one. What I found kind of amusing about it is it really is a movie that doesn't have much in the way of plot. It's trying to be American, and it clearly isn't. But also at the same time is focused on, at base level, what a slasher fan wants. It doesn't have the most convoluted plot. It doesn't have the most intricate backstory, but it does have a killer picking off women who are vulnerable in pretty brutalized ways. So it's not elevating the genre. It's not even pushing the genre to, like, the next level. But it has a couple of interesting twists and turns, and a kind of cool ending as well. Like, the sort of things that stand out against the background of other slasher movies. Specifically the ones, I'm thinking more in line with the Italian slasher movies of this time period, which are marginally forgettable, or even the American ones, which the 88 Film Slasher Classics Collection cover a lot from this time period, that just really miss the mark. This one is kind of missing the mark, but weirdly hitting all the right sweet spots for someone predisposed to this genre. The police I mentioned before are kind of terribly written in this one, in that they're not just dismissive, they're almost offensively dismissive of everything. And on top of that as well, the acting is pretty horrible. I don't know if it's a case of they had a limited budget. I would probably reckon they did, and just had to work with who they had. It's interesting to see someone like Jack Taylor in here, who is a kind of genre titan of Spanish kind of horror movies. Those that have seen Pieces will know him as the homosexual teacher, who is a kind of blink and you miss him red herring in that movie, but he appears here, which is pretty much what you would expect. But it has not the greatest cast, but it does feel like the script almost straitjackets a lot of what the acting or actors can work with in the movie. On top of that as well, it for some reason segues in a whole computer based subplot, which is, it doesn't add anything. It really doesn't pay off, and we spend a lot of time doing it, which kind of feels, there's a weird fascination with, look at technology in 1988, which starts to seep its way into movies, which just dates movies horribly now. By the time you look back on it, it's just kind of but I mean, what are you gonna do? It's it's shot in America, it's financed by Spanish money, it's mixed Spanish / American casting, it's poorly written, it's got good deaths, it's got a kind of cool score, and the look of the killer's really, it's memorable. Like I said before, he's white, kind of almost death mask, kind of hockey mask without the holes. It's kind of cool to look at, so that works for me as well. It's an oddity. It really, really, really is an oddity. I don't understand why Larraz would think this is his worst work. I think, if you look at how much the movie was made for, I actually think he gave us quite a lot for very little. Now, having seen Deadly Manor, the movie that came after this, I actually prefer this to Deadly Manor, if I'm being honest. I think this one at least knows what it has, it works within the confines of what it has, and delivers what it can. Yeah, it's not exceptional, but it's not terrible by any stretch of the imagination, ever. So, it kind of worked for me in a weird way, seeing that kind of decade transition from the more Euro-exploitative sort of erotic template that he was doing in the UK and then transitioning over to Spain. Seeing him, like, 10 years on and kind of tackling later-day slashers, actually made me feel that he was more a diverse director than I maybe gave him credit for. Like I say, Deadly Manor is one that has a bafflingly silly ending and a lot of kind of trying to paint a stronger image of the creepy old house than I think it works in its favour for. Whereas this one, yeah, it's terrible acting, but it does deliver on the kills. It does deliver on the kills, it delivers on the slasher element, and it does it in a memorable way. So, I mean, that gives it a tick. As slasher movies go, it delivers quite a lot. It's not a great movie, though, but definitely one that I imagine I could get a couple of friends around, get some beers out, some popcorn, talk over it, and, you know, when the music starts to go tense, everything goes quiet, and we watch the, you know, the kill sequence, have a bit of a laugh, and then back to chatting. It's a good time. It's a fun movie. Not a great movie, but it's not a terrible movie by any stretch of the imagination. So yeah, that's Edge of the Axe. I would recommend it. I really would. If you've never seen it before, you're a fan of kind of more, I was going to say obscure, I don't think it's hugely obscure, but if you're a fan of off the beaten track slasher movies, I think Edge of the Axe is a good one to go to. I also think that the Arrow print is phenomenal. It's really, really, really well restored. So you've got plenty of things to go along with that as well to enjoy. You've been listening to Chronicle Podcast. Please stay with us. So there we go. That is the penultimate episode, episode number 11 of Chronicle Podcast in season number 4. We have one episode left and it comes in a few weeks' time. It will conclude the season with me getting an opportunity to talk about a European horror movie that I've always wanted to but never recorded a review on. No pressure at all on me, but one that I'm unsure why I've never reviewed on a podcast before, so we will be concluding with something that might not interest everyone, but will certainly entertain me. And then we'll be taking a break. I know we've just come from a break, but we'll be taking a break till probably much later in the year, I would imagine about the October-November time, and then we will return with season number 5 with a theme and a shorter run time. Guest host will be back joining me, and I'm very much looking forward to doing that. In the interim, please check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/chronicle. And yeah, go across there, post what movies you would like us to check out in the future. If you're listening to us via Spotify or Anchor, you should get a little question that pops up at the end of this episode, which is the same. What movies would you like us to cover that are European horror movies on an upcoming episode of Chronicle? Or is there a specific sub theme or sub genre or director in the European horror category that you would like us to discuss? Please put it forward. All things will be considered. This episode of Chronicle Podcast was written, recorded, and produced by me for you. Chronicle Podcast will be back in a few weeks' time to conclude out this season. But before we go, remember, it takes sharper axes to chop bigger trees, just as it takes deeper enthusiasm to overcome stronger challenges. Timidly, only increase your fears. A tree fears an axe, even though its handle is made from it. A small sharp axe can cut down more trees than a big dull one. You've been listening to Chronicle Podcast, an almanac of old world horrors. Until the next time.
Ignition. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,